We present Anything Legal by Wally K. Daly, starring Donald Hewlett and Michael Knowles, with special guests Renu Setna, John Glover, Ron Pemba, and Sonia Fraser.
Well, so here we are, Charles.
Here we are.
Monday.
Oh, that. Monday.
Yes, Monday.
Oh, dear. I wonder why God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to start the week on such a dreadful day as Monday.
Lord knows.
You're probably right. Friday or Saturday would have been better, or at least livable with. In fact, to be honest, I quite like Friday and Saturday, in the normal course of events, that is.
Me too, usually.
Usually?
Well, Hillary was a bit tetchy this weekend.
Ah.
One of her committees asked her to stand down as chairperson. Stormy meeting, apparently.
No, how dreadful for her. This weather, particularly.
Yes, but it was her own fault.
Really?
I did warn her not to wear her mink to the meeting.
Too affluent for Save the Starving Millions, actually.
No, not that one, the other one.
Oh, the Save the Animals from Being Turned into Fur Coats bunch.
That's the one, yes.
Yes, that was going some way to explain it.
Yes. How about you?
Me?
For the weekend.
Well, it's like a little clump of Mondays all glued together, to be honest.
I didn't know Mother-in-law was visiting this weekend.
Neither did I. Marjorie had invited her without letting me know.
A bit unsporting of her.
That's what I said. As I explained to her, it was not unlike walking unaware into the lion's den and then being cuddled to the ground by a Sherman tank.
How did you take the comparison?
Not too pleased. Still, it's over now. Monday morning again, thank goodness. Bit late this morning.
Are you?
No, it is. The train.
Oh, but of course, the train. Still, no rush.
No rush? That's not like you, George. You're usually all a-quiver with eagerness by this time, just dying to dash back to your office to work on your what's-his-name campaign.
The Bovereux account.
That's the one. Strange you're not being all a-quiver.
Oh, I'm not all a-quiver because, well, that one's finished for the moment.
Oh, well, that's a relief. Be good not to hear you continually saying, in times of stress, why not undress, lie down and have a Bovereux?
You remembered. I told them it was a memorable line.
Not surprising I remembered it, George. You've been saying it every day for months.
Weeks.
Felt like months. Ah!
What?
The train. Here it comes at last. Now we can get on with our day.
Yes, thank goodness for that. I see, Charles.
Yes?
I'm not interrupting, am I?
I don't know. Just reading my paper.
That's what I find hard to credit. You're looking inside your paper.
Beg your pardon?
You're looking inside the paper instead of outside.
Outside?
In the 15 or so years we've spent travelling up and down to town together, this is the very first time I've ever seen you look inside your paper, Charles.
Is it?
Yes, you do the crossword on the outside, but you never actually open it. The paper, that is.
Good Lord. Well, I never...
But why on earth are you looking at the jobs vacant column?
Jobs vacant column? That's easily explained.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, good. For one dreadful second, I thought you might actually be looking for a new job.
Oh, no.
Absolutely obvious.
Absolutely.
I mean, that computer study you've been doing of your firm's need will take years to complete, I suppose.
No, it was finished last month, as it happens.
Gosh, how awfully efficient of you.
Not me, it was the damn computer.
Really?
Yes. It's been getting hold of my paperwork every night after I leave the office. It finished the job in a few minutes, as soon as it collected the necessary data from my last appraisal.
I see, that's a bit churlish.
True. Trouble is, it's very hard to work out just how to chastise that particular type of churl.
Could always kick it in the chips, I suppose.
Yes, that's the thought. Difficulty is deciding which bits are its chips.
Yes, I suppose it would be. So what happens now?
Same as you, really.
Me?
Yes, between projects.
Oh, yes, I see. Yes, yes, between projects.
Something will turn up at the firm, that is, always does.
Oh, yes, and the advertising agency come to that, always does.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Have your tickets ready, please. Many thanks. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, you are too kind. Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
And how are we this fine, beautiful British morning?
Fine, thanks.
Very well, thank you. And you?
Oh, extremely well, thank you. My wife is not so hot, but then again, she never was.
Ah.
But as to myself, who could ask for any more of life than I receive? The chance to stand around all day with open palms, receiving offerings from all who pass, chatting to throngs of happy, smiling, well-served passengers. Allah is indeed kindly a deity. Thank you, sir.
Not been in the job long, have you?
No. Today is indeed my first day as member of the fine Brotherhood of Ticket Collectors. A brotherhood of which I am justly proud to belong. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, madam.
How nice in this day and age to discover someone who truly enjoys their new job.
How nice in this day and age to discover someone who's actually been given a new job. Thought British Rail was cutting back.
Oh, yes, indeed they are. Very severe. Right down to the very sleepers themselves.
What, on the tracks?
No, in the workshops.
Well, how did they come to give you a job?
Oh, no. British Rail didn't give me the job.
No?
No, my brother-in-law, he gave me the job. That is until he returns from our homeland.
India?
Clapham.
Really?
Oh, yes. He decided to check in collectors, cap and clippers for a while. Dash it, he said. Very British, my brother-in-law. Dash it, I need a holiday. Keep my job warm until I get back, Billy. And here I am, keeping it warm.
But don't they mind?
Don't who mind?
Your boss, the foreman, whoever it is.
Oh, them. They don't mind. They might mind if they knew, but they don't know, so they don't mind. They just greet me friendly. Hello there, Basil, they call. And I call back just as friendly. Hello there, boss. No, they don't mind.
I thought you said your name is Billy.
My name is Billy, but my brother-in-law's name is Basil.
Oh, I see. You actually look like him.
Oh, no, thank goodness. But you know the old saying?
They all look alike to me.
That is right. Now, gentlemen, if I could kindly see your tickets.
Oh, yes, sorry, here we are.
Just enjoying our little chat.
Very good. Now, off you go and have a jolly lovely day's work. And perhaps I will be lucky enough to see you on your return journey.
Yes, indeed.
Tickets, please. Have your tickets ready, please. Thank you.
Awfully nice chair.
Charming,
charming.
Interesting arrangement, is, don't you think?
It certainly is. Two men to every job, turn and turn about, as it were.
You could provide the answer to unemployment, it's true.
And an answer's needed, Charles.
Yes. Still, you're all right, George. There's always a need for advertising, even if it's only to tell people how bad the economy is.
Oh, yes, I'll be all right. Not as all right as you, of course. I mean, computers now, that's a growing industry.
So they say. Anyway, here we are, George. Parting of the ways.
Yes, indeed.
Off you go to the left and off I go to the right.
No, Charles.
What?
You've got it wrong. It's off you go to the left and off I go to the right.
Goodness me.
Fancy getting it wrong after all these years. You're all right, are you, Charles?
Yes, I can't think what came over me. Anyway, see you this evening, George.
Yes, look forward to that. Bye, Charles.
What on earth am I going to do to pass the time? A whole grey day ahead of me and nothing to ameliorate the tedium. Totally functionless in the midst of the mighty metropolis. No job to go to? Damn computers. I'll never speak to them again. If it hadn't been for that computer, I'd still have a job to go to. George was right. I should go round there and kick it in the chips. Why on earth didn't I have the courage to tell Marjorie I'd been made redundant? No, on second thoughts, perhaps not. Might set her mother on me again. On the other hand, I could definitely have told George. After all, he is my best friend. I mean, if he'd been made redundant, he'd tell me straight away without the slightest hesitation. No doubt about that at all.
Why on earth didn't I have the courage to tell Charles I'd been given the old Heath home? After all, he's my best friend. I could have told him. There's no shame attached to being made redundant. No shame at all. We unemployed are just innocent victims of an economic road accident. For that road hog Maggie at the wheel. Women drivers. Besides which, it's only temporary. I'll have another job in no time. No time at all. I couldn't face telling Hillary, of course. Much better to carry on as normal. Pretend I still have a job. Till I have one, that is. But where does one get a job? I haven't looked for a job for simply years. But of course, the job centre. That's the answer. The managerial and executive branch. But I do envy Charles. He doesn't know how lucky he is.
Oh, this is my office, Mr. Parker. Do go in, will you?
Thank you.
Sorry to keep you waiting so long, but we are rather snowed under at the moment.
I can imagine.
Do take a seat.
Thank you.
This is your first time, is it?
Oh, sorry?
Your first time here?
Yes.
Well, it's very nice of you to call and see us like this, Mr. Parker.
My pleasure, entirely.
We at the managerial and executive section of a job centre do like to see an occasional new face. Being totally frank and honest, there's not a lot I can offer. The country is actually awash with redundant managers and executives at the moment.
Is it?
Oh, yes, we're rushed off our feet. As I say, the country is flooded with ex-executives and menless managers, and we're drowning in the overflow.
So it would seem managerial and executive vacancies are not looking very good just at the moment.
Well, you could say that. Disastrous would be nearer the mark, but not very good will do for the time being.
I see. So what would you suggest as an option while waiting for a suitable executive position to arise?
Well, why not just retire instead? I mean, lots of our more sensible executives are.
Retire? But I'm only 55-ish.
Gosh, as old as that.
55-ish isn't old.
It is these days.
I'm not ready to retire. It's preposterous.
Not that preposterous. Lots of people are retiring early these days. Lots to be said for it. Retire while you're young enough to enjoy it.
No, thank you. I'll stick to work if that's all the same to you.
Well, suit yourself, but you mustn't be an old stick in the mud, you know. 1984 has arrived at last. Ever thought of security?
Well, I always make a point of double locking the front door when we go on holiday.
Working in security. Lots of jobs in that line.
What sort of thing?
Patrolling premises, keeping your eye out for villains. Barking like an Alsatian if you spot anything suspicious. Clubbing down anyone you unexpectedly come across in your perambulations of the premises with your company-issued cosh. You know, that sort of thing.
No, I wouldn't do. I'm not very good with blood.
Always close your eyes.
No, security's not really on. Not for me.
Well, let me see. Ah, how do you feel about prophylactic limb fitter?
Prophylactic limb fitter?
Yeah?
No, I don't think so, somehow.
Well, a four-door minicab driver. Maid? Night porter?
Strange. Never realised a job centre would look quite so colourful. Screens and notice boards, different coloured cards to highlight different jobs. Rather thinly spread, though. Still, can't complain. There's a job to be had if one isn't work-shy. Let me see. Night porter. No, Hillary wouldn't understand. Four-door minicab driver. No. Prophylactic limb fitter. Prophylactic limb fitter? Gosh. What? What's that? Werner. Ah. Me?
Yeah, you. Come over here.
What is it?
What's your mate?
No. How do you do? Can I help you?
No, but I could probably help you.
Me?
Yeah. How do you fancy a job?
Of course I fancy a job. That's why I'm here.
No, not these tuppenny halfpenny bottle washer jobs you see advertised here. I mean a good, well-paid, real job.
I'm very interested.
Black market, of course.
Black market?
That's right.
You mean there's a black market in jobs?
Yeah, that's my job. Black market job broker.
But that's disgraceful.
No, it's not. It's the spirit of free enterprise afloat in the world, just like Maggie wanted. And that's me, full-time black market job broker. Well, they've always had it in the upper echelons. All I'm doing is applying it lower down the scale, working classes and upwards. So what do you say? Fancy a job?
How much?
Well, it depends what you're after.
Advertising.
Pricey. Still, you let me know the name of the company you want to work for, and we'll have you working there in next to no time.
How on earth could you manage such a thing?
Well, it's easy. I just ring up the head of personnel there and say that you will bet him £1,000 he couldn't get you a job in his company.
That's bribery.
That's right. Yeah. And once you've got the job, I ask him for £500 to keep his mouth shut.
But that's blackmail.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, it's a great combination. Bribery and blackmail. Can't go wrong.
Goodness me.
Interested?
Certainly not. I've never heard of anything so shocking in my life.
Well, suit yourself. Ah, excuse me, would you? There's a man here from the local factory coming to let me know what he needs in the way of workers this week.
Well, I've been blown. I've never heard anything so disgraceful in my life. I'll certainly never use his service, that's for sure. Unless I'm really pushed, that is.
About the catering trade, you know, washer-upper, clearer-upper, sweeper-upper?
No, none of those, Ron, I'm afraid.
Well, that's it. It appears as if we've drawn a blank, doesn't it, Mr. Parker?
Seems so, yes.
Oh, there is one other possibility that's worth considering, of course.
Oh, what's that?
Go into business by yourself.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't know where to start.
No, don't be too hasty. Being your own boss is becoming a growth industry at the moment, and the government, in its wisdom, has seen that and funded accordingly.
Really?
Oh, yes. No unemployment benefit, but you get a starting up your own business allowance, which is almost double the dole.
Good Lord, but why? Why more money?
You scratch our backs, we'll scratch yours. Keep off our unemployment statistics and we'll make sure you're justly rewarded.
How jolly thoughtful of you.
Well, it is another option, Mr. Parker. Something to consider in your quest for a new job.
Yes.
Well, that's it then. I've got your name and particulars, of course, and if anything suitable turns up, I'll be in touch.
How thoughtful.
Oh, we do our best, despite the troubled time. Oh, as you go out, would you be kind enough to ask the next executive I'm about to disappoint to come in?
Of course.
Goodbye, Mr. Parker.
Goodbye, and thank you. Oh, there's only one waiting. Excuse me, I wonder if you'd mind going in.
Good God, George!
Charles?
What on earth are you doing here?
What on earth are you?
Staff.
Pardon?
Staff. Firm's taking on extra people on the computer side, hence my presence here being in charge, that sort of thing.
Of course. How silly of me not to guess.
And you, George?
Same sort of thing. Extra copywriters. Got to explain the sort of accounts they'll be working on.
Of course, yes. Well, I must get on. Back to the office, get on with the job in hand. Time is money.
Yes. And I'd better pop in and state my requirements before gesturing back to my office to get on with my new account. Well, Charles, see you on the usual train, I suppose?
I may be going back a train or two earlier.
Really? You've never ever done that before. Are you sure everything's all right, old friend?
I wish you wouldn't constantly keep using that word old, George.
Old?
Yes, old friend, you said. I'm not that old, George.
But of course you aren't.
Why else is everyone going on about my age today, as if I was about to go gaga and have bits drop off any second? I'm only 55-ish, damn it. A slip of a lad.
Ah, is that the reason you may be going home early?
Reason?
Oh, you know, out of sorts, a bit tetchy, that sort of thing.
No, that's not the reason. On reflection, perhaps I won't get the early train. Take an awful lot of explaining to Marjorie.
What would?
Things. See you on the usual train, then, George.
Good. Bye, Charles. See you this evening.
What a day. Absolutely endless. Seems to have been going on forever. Must be murder being a tramp. Done the job centre, done the dozing in the library, done the sitting in and walking through the park. What on earth left to do? Of course, a cup of tea. I should have thought of that before. And there's the answer. A cafe over the road. Peeling paint and tomato sauce on every table, I shouldn't wonder. Still, at a sip a minute, two cups of tea should get me through nicely to home time. Yes, just what I need. Heavenly, cheery, chip-smelling haven.
Yes, dear?
Good afternoon. A cup of tea and a curly bun, please.
Oh, we don't do curly buns, dear. Only curly sandwiches.
Of course, how silly of me. A sticky bun, perhaps.
Oh, I wouldn't advise it, sir. The gentleman over there just brought a sticky bun back with some very suspect currants sticking on the surface.
What was the problem?
Wasn't supposed to be a currant bun.
Just the cup of tea, then.
No currants in them or on them, come to that. Leastways shouldn't have. But it was very sticky, if you get my meaning.
Oh, how disquieting for him. Thank you. Which of the gentlemen was it?
The rather morose-looking one in the far corner, dear. In the smart suit with the leather patches on his sleeve.
Which one? Oh, I see. Good Lord! He mustn't see me here.
Charles.
Oh, no.
Charles?
Oh, hello, George. I'll come over. Oh, what a coincidence.
Look, Charles. Don't say a word.
What?
No, just let me blurt it out quickly, while I've got my courage up. I can't take any more deception. I've just got to get it off my chest, Charles.
Get what off your chest, George?
I'm out of work.
No.
Yes, I've been sacked. I should have told you sooner. I've known for over a month. My campaign went sour on me. Bovero put the boot in. But I felt I must keep it secret. I was strangely... ashamed, Charles. Ashamed.
Oh, of course, ashamed, George. Half the blooming country's out of work. It's spreading like a craze.
Sort of hula hooping.
What?
Hula hooping.
Well, I suppose you could say that. Anyway, I caught the craze last month. I didn't like to tell you either. Thought you had enough worries already, what with Hillary and her committees.
You mean you were hula hooped as well?
No. Computer-sided.
Computer-sided?
Yes, killed off by my computer.
Good Lord, not your faithful computer.
Not faithful, George. Treacherous.
It was your brainchild.
That's the one. Shades of Macbeth, I'm afraid.
But that means you're redundant as well.
In a word, yes. I also was keeping it a secret. It was dreadful of me, I know, but there's no going back.
But that's marvellous.
Thank you, George. Nice of you to be so enthusiastic about my mystery.
Don't you see? Now we have each other to share our depression with. A burden shared is a burden halved. A friend also in need is a friend double indeed.
You haven't by chance been listening to Thought for Today, have you, George?
No.
Never guess.
So that's it then. All deception behind us.
Yes, indeed. I feel better already.
So do I, Charles.
So let's cut through the euphoria and face the problem squarely.
Very good, Charles.
We haven't got a job. We want a job. But no worthwhile jobs are available, right? Right, right. So, how much have you got, George?
Got?
In monetary terms.
Well, I've got what's left of the sandwich money that Hillary doles out every day. About 32 pence.
No, George, real money. Could you last 6 months if it came to the pinch? You know, paying Hillary the housekeeping, covering the bills, and keeping Harriet the dog and duck off your back?
Well, just about.
Good. So could I. That'll do for what I have in mind.
And what do you have in mind?
What that chappie at the job centre suggested. Jump on the bandwagon and head for the new growth industry.
What's that, Charles?
Self-employment, George.
You mean working for oneself?
That's the answer. No jobs available, so we create our own. Get into business for ourselves. Give ourselves 6 months to make a go of it. We couldn't fail.
Doing what?
Service, George. Service. That's the answer.
Is it?
Yes. The service industry is the growing thing. Everybody in the country is doing things to and for each other.
And in the towns as well?
Yes, apparently.
The trouble would be deciding what service to give, of course. I mean, they all seem pretty well catered for.
There is an answer to that, George.
Thought there would be.
We let people decide themselves what service we give them.
Pardon?
Well, we simply give ourselves a nebulous name, and people could ring up and test us out, see if we would do what they wanted.
You've lost me, Charles.
Supposing we were called, say, Services Unlimited. We could do any service requested of us.
Doesn't worry you that it sounds a bit French lessons givenish?
I beg your pardon?
But you know, not tying lessons by naughty nautical girl. Chair bottoms recaned, etc., etc.
Not tying lessons? Chair bottoms recaned? George, what on earth are you blathering on about? Getting hula hooped appears to have unhinged you a trifle.
Soho type shop window advertising.
I still don't get the connection.
Did you ever look at the naughty ads in the newsagent's windows, Charles?
Certainly not. Do you?
Me? No, never.
Oh. Well, I'm pleased to hear it.
But I do happen to know that Services Unlimited could be open to slight misunderstanding. Could, in fact, be tainted with a touch of illegality.
Oh, no, we couldn't have that. Whatever we do has got to be strictly legal. I mean, it's going to be bad enough living a life of deception as far as Hillary and Marjorie are concerned without doing anything that smacks of illegality.
Surely we've got to tell them they're our wives.
It's because they're our wives that we don't tell them.
You're right.
Anyway, what do you think, George? Are we in business?
Well, it's a jolly interesting thought.
Interesting? On reflection, George, it's superb. We should have done this years ago.
Gosh, good to see you looking enthusiastic, Charles.
Enthusiastic indeed. It's a wonderful opportunity for business.
Oh, good.
Now, the one thing that is essential, a good name to hang our services on. That's what we must search for, George. That's a priority.
On the train home, perhaps.
What?
Well, if we don't dash, we'll miss our train.
Good Lord, as late as that. Doesn't time fly when you're setting up in business? Don't hang about, George.
Come along. Get your tickets ready for checking. No one is going through these gates without having the tickets checked. Now, keep it moving, keep it moving. We all want to get home tonight.
Ah, good evening, Billy. Remember us?
Don't you go first naming me, sir. Ticket collector is my title, and don't you go forgetting it.
Oh, I'm awful sorry about that.
Ticket collector, is it?
Had a fairly typical first day, have you?
Typical? This is what you call typical. Huh. I've never known anything like it. I thought smiling and happy was the right way to be in this job. But all I get for my efforts is scowls. The bigger the smile I give them, the bigger the scowl I get back in return. Huh. Back so stuffing to you, matey, I thought. I can scowl as good as the next man if it's required to do so. And then you know what they do? They keep pushing their grubby little tickets at you. Chewed up, dog-eared, dirty little stubs.
How awful.
This is no job for a sensitive grown man who likes his fellow human being. Very soon, I decide to throw in my clicker and go home.
Clapham?
India. And then I'm going to find a job that does not involve meeting people. I don't care if it's anything legal, I would do it.
I say, what was that again?
I said anything legal would do.
But of course it would. Eureka!
Oi, don't you go calling me names, sir. I've had just about enough of that today.
What is it, Charles?
Don't you see, George? Billy has got it.
He's got what, Charles?
The perfect title for our business.
Ticket collector?
No, no. Anything legal.
Anything legal?
Yes, that's what we'll call ourselves. It covers absolutely everything. Anything legal.
But of course. Perfect.
You've been listening to Anything Legal by Wally K. Daly, starring Donald Hewlett as Charles and Michael Knowles as George. Also this week, Renu Setna featured as the ticket collector, John Glover as Mr. Rollings, Ron Pember as the black market job salesman, and Sonia Fraser as the cafe waitress. The theme music was written by Jim Parker, and the program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.